We're coping. We're doing shows without sports. Tricky.
Man, I mean, that's honestly, that's one of the hardest parts right now.
Well, yeah. And
so you're locked in the house. You can't do anything but not watch sports.
So we were joking earlier about what might be happening at your place. You've got you have a family, but we feel like you'd be sitting in front of the TV watching Hamilton Ticat game tape or something. What are you doing these days?
Yeah, it's a it's a lot of film watching and just trying to critique myself from last year.
You really are, right? Like, you're watching tape.
Oh yeah, you have to, man. I mean, shoot. Perfect chance and opportunity to do it right now.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, I turned on ESPN yesterday to give myself a break, and I was like, let me see what's on. It was the 2008 Junior Hockey World Championships. I was like, nah, maybe not.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm good.
Yeah. So I got let's start with your Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien.
Not, you can take the word "your" off that one.
You're done? That's
anymore.
It? Not anymore? What's your read there?
Man, my brothers and I literally have been just talking about it this entire time. Like, we at the end of the year, we were kind of the opinion, like, all right, you know, maybe they're going to realize it's time to move on for Bill O'Brien. And then a couple weeks later, it's like, hey, man, we gave Bill O'Brien a promotion. It's the GM now also. And it's like, at that point, we're like, man, we just don't understand what's going on over there, ownership-wise, like the decisions on how they make personnel. And just to confirm all that, Bill O'Brien makes – probably one of the worst trades I've ever seen. D-Hop's probably that one. I mean, to me, I think if there's an expendable guy that might be worth something, it's J.J. Watt. But to lose, you know, what I consider a top three receiver, I'm sure a lot of guys might consider the best receiver in the league. That was pretty rough, especially for what we got in return. You know, you see Stephon Diggs just got, what, four draft picks for him?
Yeah.
So that was rough.
Yeah, that didn't help his cause that within an hour, another receiver who wasn't as good got dealt for about twice the return that they got. So now we'll talk about Tom Brady and the Patriots. But the Buffalo Bills, they add Diggs. The Patriots lose Tom Brady. Are they poised to take the division here?
The Bills?
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, they're definitely up there. I mean, I got to see who New England gets at quarterback. I mean, they still have a damn good football team, but I need to see who they get at quarterback. I mean, what's y'all's opinion? Who do you think they're going to get QB?
Well, they were trying to get Teddy, but he signs with Carolina. I think right now your only choice, really, I mean, not only choice. There's a couple of options out there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they make a call to Indy to see if Jacoby Brissett's available because
he was already in New England.
Yeah, and they signed Phillip Rivers, so. I would think that's the route they go, but who knows at this point.
Nice, yeah. I haven't even thought about Jacoby Brissett yet.
Yeah.
My brother made a suggestion yesterday. Detroit's trying to replace Stafford if they would try to make a trade for Stafford.
Well, there's going to be so many quarterbacks in a different spot because clearly Andy Dalton is available, and we've already seen Rivers move. Now what's going to happen with Cam Newton? What's going to happen even with Winston, because he's not going to want to stick around there. So let's talk about Brady. Are you stunned that he's gone to Tampa Bay?
Not stunned. I guess like a little bit disappointed. I wanted to see him in a Raiders jersey just because it was like the one jersey I would never picture him in. Like Patriots is that like iconic, like clean, just we do everything right. And then the Raiders are just, you know, you imagine the guy in the stands with the skulls and the face paint. I just wanted to see that TV-12 black and silver. That'd been a pretty cool jersey to see. I mean, it's going to be a good place for him. He's got two amazing receivers. I'm not too well versed on their defense, to be honest with you. I don't know how good their defense was last year. I think they were pretty good and I don't think they were terrible, but I mean, when James Winston puts you in some of the situations that he does, it's pretty hard to be good at the defense.
Well, that's the other part of it. Tom Brady, is he even going to be able to match the offensive numbers? Because you forget about that. Winston, 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. You hear a lot about the picks, but he didn't. That offense didn't struggle with him at the controls. And I wonder now, is Brady, what's the expectation, I suppose? Obviously, throw fewer interceptions and be a better game manager, but I don't know. Will he even match the offensive output from Winston from a year ago?
Man, I think so. I mean, you look at, like, I don't know, Josh Gordon coming over there, AB coming over there. As soon as he has an elite receiver, like, think back to Randy Moss. I know Randy Moss is a freak of a person to talk about, but, I mean, you've got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. When he's got elite receivers, he makes some amazing plays. Now, they're not huge fans of just dropping back, like in New England, dropping back and throwing go balls or, you know, back shoulder fade, but let's not discredit, you know, the GOAT. I mean, this guy is the best quarterback of all time for a reason. There's not a throw on the field he can't make, and maybe he struggled a little bit last year, you know, but I got to think that Tom Brady's going to come out here and have a little bit of something to prove. He's got a chance to kind of make a team his own and do what he wants to do and throw the ball a little bit more often. I think that's what he wants to do. So I'm excited to see it. I think the fantasy numbers are going to be pretty good.
The only counter I'd have to that, because I don't disagree necessarily, but you know, you compared the Randy Moss year. That's 31-year-old Brady. He's now 43, right? Like,
yeah.
Has stuff come off his game?
But a lot of that's throwing go balls. You know what I mean? Like, when you've got a freak receiver that can go up above people and make plays, like, it's a lot different when it comes to, like, I don't know. I saw, not the playoff game, it was a late Tampa Bay game, and Mike Evans murders his DB. Just guy tries to press. The inside release is, like, we call it an opposite release. Opposite release is stacks the receiver, gets back on top. James Wilson throws the ball, and it damn near lands out of bounds and short, but Mike Evans makes an amazing catch. That's just one of those things that, if that's Tom Brady, it's just a perfect, accurate ball put right in front of him, and he runs into the end zone 50 yards later. So I think there's going to be some plays where there's obviously going to be an adjustment period. You know, he's got a new offense to learn. He's going to have a little bit of that getting used to of not having Josh McDaniels making play calls and not being safe all the time, because they're probably going to be down a little bit more often than they were in New England with their defense. So I think he's going to have to press a little bit, but he's got the guys that he can put up some crazy numbers to me if he's down a little bit or if they're pressing on offense. I think, I don't know. I mean, 43 or 31, the way Tom Brady plays, doesn't really change anything.
It's funny you mention Antonio Brown, because the belief has always been, even going back to New England when things, I mean, before he went to New England, things were off the rails for him, but he went there and more of the stuff came out, and New England doesn't put up with guys who have baggage, but they held on as long as they could, and then eventually Kraft just had to cut him loose, and Brady was pissed off. He let it be known at the time, and he has been an Antonio Brown guy, right or wrong. And the thought is, if he's not suspended, if he is available to play in the National Football League, you can insert him into that offense as well.
Oh, man. That's honestly, like, I don't have words for it. That's just scary to think about. Those three receivers, and then the tight ends they have, what, Cameron Bray and O.J. Howard?
Yeah.
That's scary, man.
What else did we miss? Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers is in Baltimore.
Bo, what's your take? Because I know that health has always been a concern for him, but now that he's available for trade, the Panthers signing Teddy Bridgewater. Like, what's Cam Newton in 2020 for you? Where does he end up?
Oh man, dude, I don't know. I've been watching Cam Newton lately.
He's not the same.
I know he came off a pretty bad shoulder injury, and I guess his rehab didn't go as planned. And he already kind of had a wonky release, and he just threw the ball as hard as he could, no matter what. It's just he doesn't look like the same guy, and I think a lot of people have that same belief. So, man, I think he'll go somewhere that just to somebody that's drafting a quarterback. You know, he's going to go somewhere where, you know, whether it's L.A., somewhere crazy, I don't know, where they're drafting a quarterback, he can go to the Bengals and be a backup, I don't know. But it's just going to – I think he's going to end up being a backup that – or a starter for a, you know, a gap stop until the rookie's ready.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you start looking around, I don't even know. Like, what's Washington, the Redskins, do they even think that –
Well, there's talk that they want to draft Tua. So it's like, well, what?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think they believe in Haskins as the future. The Redskins are a mess as an organization to begin with.
Miami could probably use a bit of an upgrade.
Yeah, they're probably going to draft the QB, but as Bo said, maybe you want Newton to be the guy for a couple of years and then let the rookie take over. I don't know. A couple of games.
I think he's going to be it for a couple of games. Yeah, I just don't see it, man. I don't see the arm being the way it used to be, and that was already a struggle with me.
Kind of on that vein, you talk about Tua and Burrow coming out in the draft. Your thoughts on either of those guys or both of those guys as potential studs in the NFL?
Man, I mean, I loved watching the championship game. I think Joe's going to be a hell of a quarterback. I know that's the easy thing to say. Tua, obviously worried about with that major injury, and I never thought that he had like the quickest release, like the most fast twitch throwing motion. Sometimes when I watch him, I'm like, man, he's just sitting in such a clean pocket, and his receivers just murder their guys. So I'm pretty interested to see him just in some NFL game time experience and not outmatching the other team so much as far as talent-wise. You know, in the NFL, it's all pretty damn close. And he's most likely going to a more struggling team than anything. So that'll be interesting to see. The one thing that bothered me, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but when I was watching the national championship game, I'm watching LSU, I'm watching Joe, and he is phenomenal. He's a great pocket quarterback. He stands tall and throws the ball. But they kept panning over to their offensive coordinator. They kept saying, man, this guy, he's young, he's great. You know, he's helped turn Joe around to be the guy he is today. And then you find out that he gets hired somewhere else in the NFL. Now, if I'm the Bengals, this shows me why you're a bad organization, because you're looking at the quarterback you're going to draft, and then you're looking at the offensive coordinator who calls his plays, and you could literally just hire that guy and then draft Joe, and then you've got an offensive coordinator of an offense this kid knows how to run, and you're going to have success right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that's scary to me when you look at organization and knowledge and all that kind of thing. And it's just, I don't know, that bothered me. Where did he get hired at, by the way? Was it
Carolina. Carolina.
It was Carolina? Okay.
You know, yeah. Joe Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah, Carolina.
Yeah. So Matt Rhule sitting there watching that. Yeah. You know what? I want that guy's my offensive coordinator. Let me go ahead and get
him. Yeah, yeah. Tell you what, for Carolina, good luck. Drew Brees comes back for two more years. Tampa Bay just adds the GOAT, as you call him. Have fun in that division, trying to be near the top of the NFC.
Not
so it got a lot tougher all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you something, since you're speaking about division. Do you feel like, I mean, I know Brady told the Chargers they were out because he wants to live on the East Coast, which makes no sense to me since he just, you know, started that production company in L.A. Do you think it's more because that would be with the Chiefs in the same division and there's not a good chance they're going to win the division, which means there's not a good chance they're getting a bye?
You know, it's hard to say because you're right. Do you want to go up against the next hot, young, stud, QB, MVP of the Super Bowl type of a thing? There were some people are saying it's because Tampa Bay is hosting the Super Bowl, and no home team has ever been in the Super Bowl, and it'd be the chance for Tom Brady to potentially, again, do something that no one else has done to add to his legacy. It seems like a lot to put on. There's $30 million as well, and the thought is that Tampa Bay is the only one that came through with that kind of dough. But I don't know. Does a guy look at it and say, this is another chunk of my legacy. Let's go to Tampa Bay and get this done.
I mean, yeah, honestly, it could be in the thought process. Is Tampa the only one that came with a $30 million offer?
Apparently New England never came through with an actual hard offer. And I don't even, what I've heard is that the Chargers weren't even in a spot to put anything hard across yet. And Tampa Bay came out full bore. They're like, here's what it is. It's $30 million. We're hosting the Super Bowl. We've got Godwin, Evans. We'll bring in Antonio Brown. We'll figure out a way to make that work. Just get here. And yeah, if you look at that division, which division would you rather be in? It probably is. He's not dumb. It's probably a combination of all of those things.
Yeah, for sure it is. I mean, you want to be the most successful you can, but I mean, he's going to make a decision based on the offense, based on the talent, based on, you know, the ask that he had. He wanted to have full control. He wanted to have control of play calling as well, or help. I mean, I guess on play calling. But he wanted to have control of the roster, and I think, you know, that's interesting that you say that. I think it's probably a pretty good chance that the big reason he wanted that is because he wanted to bring in guys like Antonio Brown, guys that he believes can help. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I'm interested to see if there's any ex-Patriots now that signed with the Buccaneers as well.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and I mean, the other interesting part, too, it's he spent forever in the AFC, and now he's going to the NFC, which by for a lot of people are better teams and better quarterbacks. The competition, you're talking about in the division, maybe not as tough as if he were to go to the Chargers, but Bo, just in terms of the NFC, a lot more tougher teams in terms of the road to the big dance in February.
Yeah, man, that is true. I don't think he's got an easy go anywhere you go. It's not sure. Like the NBA, where if you go to the East, it's a lot easier, you know, in the past couple of years at least. But yeah, man, he's got a tough road ahead. I mean, I know it's a much, much different, but even like my decision in free agency last year, when you're looking at offers that all look pretty similar, it's like, okay, well, do I go start somewhere new just because, or do I stay with a guy that I know I'm successful with and that I believe in? Where, as not that you wouldn't believe in the other guys, just you don't know. It's the unknown, right? You don't know what the offensive coordinator is like. You don't know if you're going to get along well, if he's going to allow you to implement plays that you like. You know, I think those kind of things do play into it when you're making these decisions. So I bet, honestly, it was very tough on Brady. And I think New England knows that. New England knows that he wants to be there. He wants to live out his legacy. And I agree with you, they probably didn't come with a $30 million offer. They're always asking for the hometown discount, right? Mm. Hey, man, your wife's one of the richest women in the world. Like, just chill out. You don't need any money. So it is pretty interesting just to kind of think about what all plays into your head when it comes to free agency. It's not just, oh, who's got the best offer? Who offers the most money? Okay, yeah, let me go there. I mean, there's a lot of things that play into it when it comes to personnel, when it comes to the play callers, when it comes to the city, you know, how many home inside games am I playing in, how many bad weather games am I going to play in? You know, it definitely changes things.
We were kind of joking off the top about you watching film, but in all seriousness, have you started to kind of think about what things would be like if your season is delayed or training camp is delayed? Have you guys talked about that with Dave or the staff? Has that been in anything? Is that even on anyone's radar, I guess, right now?
I mean, not really. I haven't talked about it with anybody in the staff. I don't think anybody's thinking into June. You know, training camp being in May, I think we're a little bit nervous about it just because it's unknown, right? We all have no idea. I've had players text me about it, just asking what I think and if there's a chance that it would happen. And, you know, guys are worried about, you know, I mean, even global players coming in. You know, we've got guys from Italy to sign. We've got guys from Germany. I mean, everybody's a little bit worried just about what everything looks like when it comes to, you know, training camp and how it starts. But honestly, I trust in science. I trust in the doctors. So, I mean, whatever happens, but if guys are to say it's safe and that we're okay to do it, I'm going to be full go, ready to go. So I think that's kind of most people's thought process right now.
One of those unique things too, right? Because a training camp, you know, those groupings of 50 or more people, when those aren't allowed, I mean, you've got a lot more than 50 people in a football training camp, right?
Yeah, so I mean, that's obviously if that rule's still in place, and obviously that's going to be tough to do. It's more hoping that, you know, some things get figured out and things start to subside. You know, but there's a lot more important things in sports, and unfortunately, as an athlete, that's the way you have to think, and you have to understand that. And it's hard for a lot of guys. You know, we're ingrained at such a young age that, you know, sports all that matters, and I'll die for sport. So it's tough to imagine not going to, you know, not going to training camp of the chance of getting sick or, you know, the opportunity of it happening. But it's, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, my biggest fear has been my 10-month-old daughter, you know, just being out and about, trying to go to the stadium and train, you know, and now that this seems unlikely, you know, we've been in quarantine here now for like 5 days. So I think it's the scary part is like you've got a lot of young, healthy guys in that locker room who know they're going to be healthy. And if they get sick, they'll be sick for a couple of weeks and be okay. You know, but you worry about, you know, your kids or, you know, I'm sure some Canadian players are worried about their parents or grandparents. So, yeah, it's just, it's hard to think about, but it's the time we're living in right now. And I think we've all got to adjust and be prepared for the worst, but hope for the best.
And my understanding is that you've taken some of your frustrations out on Will Nault on the PS4. Is that accurate?
I played him in one game, man. Just one.
He said he took a solid beating in Madden.
It was just first game. It was first game jitters. You know, he was nervous trying to call the plays perfect.
It's about halfway through the game. I think third quarter, Bo's like, you call a lot of zone. Hey, that's probably should mix that up a little bit.
Yeah, well, man, never.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. Couldn't kick an extra point to save my life. So there's that too. I mean, shanking every extra point doesn't help my cause.
Yeah. Hey, take care of yourself, man. Thanks for coming on. We may be ringing your phone again, depending on how the next few weeks go. We appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks, right, Boom. Man. Thanks, Will. Appreciate you guys.
Take care, man. There's Bo Levi Mitchell, quarterback of the Calgary Stampeders.